Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hey, Creative World Changer. This is Melissa Dinwiddie with Living a Creative Life, and this is episode one of Live Creative Now. This episode is sponsored by Creative Sandbox 101, the little e-course that sparks big transformation and has gotten over 1,000 people back into their creative groove. The next session runs July 14th through 20th, and as a Live Creative Now listener, you can join me for just $10. It's normally $37, so that's a really great savings. You can join for just $10 by going to lcn.creativesandbox101.com. That's LCN, as in Live Creative Now. So lcn.creativesandbox101.com. And now on with today's episode. Live Creative Now. I want to tackle today one of the biggest issues that gets in the way of so many people going after their creative passions and feeding their creative hungers. And that is this crazy notion that our society has that feeding your creative urges, feeding your creative hungers is somehow self-indulgent, that it is selfish. Oh my gosh, this one had me so stuck for so long. But thankfully, over the years, I have figured out that it is not self-indulgent to feed your creative hungers, and I now have 8 really powerful reasons for why it is absolutely essential that you do your creative thing. Whether it's writing, or painting, or dancing, or choreography, or filmmaking, whatever it is, you have got to feed your creative hungers. And I'm about to tell you exactly why. So let me go over these 8 reasons. The first thing is, when you create, as you know, it gives you joy. It makes you happy. And although on the surface that might seem like a selfish reason, in fact, it is not selfish at all, because when you're happier, everything in your being changes, your energy changes, and everything and every person that you touch is affected by that inner feeling that you have. If you're in a cranky mood and you go shopping, you're going to take your crankiness out on the teller or the person who bumps into you with their shopping cart, right? Well, if you go shopping and you've just done your creative thing and you're filled up, your tank is full, then you're going to bring that to your interaction with the teller. When somebody bumps into you with their shopping cart, you're going to have more resilience to deal with it, and you're going to send them on the way with a better experience from their shopping experience than if they had run into you in a really cranky mood. So you change your mood when you do your creative thing, and that ripples out and changes the world. So that's reason number one. It gives you joy, and that ripples out. Argument number two, you're hungry for a reason. If you think about other desires in your life, like desire for food, hunger for food, if you ignored that, what would happen? You would starve to death. If we didn't act ever on our sexual desire, the human race would die out. Now, that doesn't mean that we gorge ourselves on either food or sex. That would not be useful, right? But there is a reason that you feel those hungers. You evolved. The universe made you evolve so that you would do certain things. You would eat so you wouldn't starve to death, and we would procreate, right? So the reason that you feel the hunger to create, to express yourself in whatever creations that call to you, is because the universe wants you to. It would not have put that desire inside of you if the universe didn't want you to pursue that desire and try to feed it. And if you look deep inside of yourself, You already know this to be true because you know how different your life goes when you are feeding your hungers and when you're not feeding your hungers. So that's argument number two. You're hungry for a reason. The universe wants you to create. Argument number three is unexpressed creativity is not benign. This is something that I heard Brené Brown say at a World Domination Summit talk in 2012, which was totally mind-blowing. And she's repeated this many, many times. Brené Brown, if you are not aware of her, has done a couple of crazy viral TED Talk videos, has written two New York Times number one best-selling books, The Gifts of Imperfection and Daring Greatly. And she has amassed a really sizable audience. And it makes me so happy that she is using that platform to finally focus a little attention on the dangers of unexpressed creativity. Unexpressed creativity, as she says, metastasizes. It's like a cancer. It metastasizes into grief, rage, judgment, sorrow, shame. It becomes destructive. You already know this. If you pay attention to your body, you know when you are not creating, that is not a benign thing. That causes major, major damage to your being. So that's argument number three for why it is so essential for you to do your creative thing. Unexpressed creativity is not benign. Argument number four is based in science. Science proves that it is not self-indulgent. In fact, doing your creative thing, according to actual scientific research studies, is one of the most powerful ways to restore energy to your brain. Think about that. So what do I mean here? Well, the topic of human willpower, the ability to control our actions, has been really popular with neuroscientists in the past several years. And it turns out that self-control resides in a particular section of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, or the PFC. And whenever you're required to exercise willpower or self-control, for example, if your boss yells at you and you have to bite your tongue, even though you're dying to scream at him, your prefrontal cortex gets fatigued. If you are craving Snickers bars and you're in the grocery store and you're standing in line and you really want a Snickers bar, but instead you say, you know what, that's not going to serve me. I'm going to get, an apple or something instead. Your PFC, your prefrontal cortex, has to work in order to, for you to be able to exercise that self-control. Or if you're, say you're working on a writing project and you're feeling this awful block and part of you knows you need to stick with it, but another part of you is like, oh, I just want to go to the refrigerator. If you stick with it, that is your prefrontal cortex keeping you at it. That is also willpower or self-control. So every time you face a challenge like that, your prefrontal cortex gets fatigued, just like a bicep, just like a muscle. If you use your bicep and you do several reps of curls with a really heavy weight, your bicep is going to be fatigued and it needs to be refreshed and restored. And it's the same thing with our prefrontal cortices, I guess that's the plural. So a group of researchers brought in subjects and gave them a series of tasks that taxed their willpower muscle in order to try and figure out what was the best way to restore that self-control energy to their brains. So they gave them a series of tasks that taxed that willpower muscle. And then there was an intermediary condition, and they had three different groups. The people were given three different, a different condition in each of the groups. And then they were given another set of tasks that taxed their willpower muscle again. And so they wanted to see who would be able to endure the longest after that intermediary condition, whatever it was. And they gave them different conditions. But the one condition, I don't remember what they all were. One was, I think, watching boring videos or something. But one of the conditions was to have the subjects do something that engaged their interest. Engage their interest. And guess what? The people who were given that intermediary condition to do something that engaged their interest, they had much more willpower at the end of the study and were able to endure the longest, way more than the people who had gone through the other intermediary condition. So, all that is to say that when you get home and you're really zoned out from a day at work or whatever, the impulsive side of your brain is probably telling you that what you need is to veg out in front of the television. But it turns out that if you can get yourself to do something that actually engages your interest, maybe even gets you into a state of flow, that is much more effective at restoring energy to your brain. That could be mountain biking. It could be going on a walk in nature, could be rock climbing, or it could be doing your art, writing, your painting, your music. You know, when you sit down to do your creative thing, how great it makes you feel, right? It turns out it is actually replenishing energy to your brain. Creating restores your energy. And it is never self-indulgent to do something that restores your energy. So that's argument number four. Science proves that it is not self-indulgent. When you create, you are restoring energy to your brain, and it is never self-indulgent to do something that restores your energy. Argument number five is you have no idea how your work might touch somebody. I can't tell you how many creators I know who are so afraid of sharing their work. They keep it in drawers or on their hard drives. They never share it with anybody because they're convinced that it's not good enough to share, right? I feel that. God, I totally get that. It is really scary to put something out into the world when you know for a fact that it could be better. Because the reality is, it could always be better. Always. We're never going to make it perfect. There are so many reasons why I feel really strongly that we creators need to share our work before we feel it's good enough. Because we're never going to feel like it's as good as it could be, right? But sharing your work is the only way that it will ever touch someone. And even if you think your creation is totally worthless, you simply have no idea how it might affect somebody else. I cannot tell you how many times that I have clicked the publish button on my blog and with this like little cringe, like, oh God, it's not as good as I wish. Or click that share button on Instagram or Facebook on my iPhone, thinking to myself, well, you know, that's not my best work. And then that is the thing that somebody sends me an email about or leaves a comment about saying that it made this huge difference in their life or that they absolutely love it. Or maybe I've had people want to buy art that I have shared on social media thinking, well, that's a piece of crap. I'm going to paint over that. So you just never know. So my philosophy is to feed your creative hungers for you, to feed yourself, and because you just never know how what you create might touch someone else. So that's argument number five. You have no idea how your work might touch someone. Argument number six. This is the tagline for this podcast. Feeding your creative hunger saves the world. So how do I come up with that notion? Well, if you go back to the Talmud, the oral tradition in Judaism that's been written down, long, long time ago was written down, but it's the oral tradition. It's basically a bunch of arguments between really wise rabbis over eons. And in the Talmud, it says, if you save a single human soul, it is as if you had saved an entire world. If you save a single human soul, It is as if you had saved an entire world. Now, I suspect that the rabbis who had this original argument and who wrote this down in the Talmud were probably referring to the physical saving of lives, like the difference between life and death. But I'm going to take the liberty of applying it a little bit more broadly, because I truly believe that if you save one single person from a lifetime of low-grade misery, it is as if you had saved the entire world. And there is always one person you know you can save, one soul you know you can save, and that is yours. And if all human souls are equal, and of course, why wouldn't they be? Then saving your own soul is no less important than saving somebody else's soul. Therefore, if feeding your creative hungers is a way to save your own soul, then according to the great thinkers of the Talmud, who were pretty wise guys, by doing your creative thing, you are, in fact, saving the world. So that's argument number 6. Feeding your creative hungers saves the world. Argument number 7 is that it could just save you from Alzheimer's. There is a very recent Mayo Clinic study that was published in the past month or two that demonstrated that older people who had regularly engaged in arts and crafts activities were way less likely to have brain decline. So the people who, from middle age into old age, had regularly pursued their creative thing had healthier brains. They were less likely to have dementia or Alzheimer's. So that's pretty powerful. Argument number 7. Doing your creative thing might just save you from Alzheimer's. Argument number 8 is, it might just save your life. Now, this might sound a little extreme, but the reality is that for some people, creating has quite literally saved their lives. Not too long ago, I was privileged to see a documentary film in progress called They Played for Their Lives, which tells the story of Holocaust survivors who literally owe their lives to their music. I highly recommend the film if you get a chance to see it. It tells the story of a number of Holocaust survivors who were musicians, and the Nazis really valued music. And so they often gave special treatment to their prisoners who had the skill to play an instrument. So those musicians were able to get better jobs, better living conditions, more food and clothing. And in a lot of the ghettos and camps, people who played an instrument were selected to join a band or orchestra. Some of those musicians were forced to entertain the Nazis during holidays and parties, but it also saved a lot of their lives. In many cases, some of these musicians had to play as they watched their family and friends march into the gas chambers. I mean, how horrific, but it saved their lives. One survivor named Anita said, the cello really saved my life, because to be in this orchestra was a way of survival, because as long as they wanted music, they would be foolish to put us in the gas chambers. And in addition, the music kept them out of the gas chambers, and it also gave them a way to escape. It kept them from being murdered, and it also gave them something to live for. So now I grant you, this is a really extreme case, but even those of us who are not victims of genocide, we can still fall prey to the dark forces that threaten to do us in, you know? I know survivors of severe depression who climbed their way out of a suicidal pit only through the grace of following their creative urges. One of my acquaintances has a doctor who really gets it. She checked herself into a hospital because she was not doing well. And when she checked out a week later, his prescription to her was, quote, now go create. He knew that that was what she needed. That was going to keep her alive. It was going to give her a reason to live. Super wise man. So that's argument number 8. It might just save your life. So to recap, why doing your art is necessary, not self-indulgent. Argument number 1, it gives you joy, and that ripples out to everything you touch, everyone you touch, everything you do. Argument number 2, the universe wants you to. There is a reason you feel those hungers. There's a reason you feel that desire. It's programmed into you for a reason, and the reason is the universe wants you to. Argument number 3 for why it is essential, not self-indulgent, to do your creative thing. Unexpressed creativity is not benign. It causes extreme damage to your being, to your soul, and even to your body when you do not express your creativity. Argument number 4. Science proves that the best way to restore energy to your brain, to restore your brain's ability to control your actions, your willpower, the best way is to do something that engages your interest, like doing your creative thing. So science proves that it is not self-indulgent, because anything that restores energy to your brain is never self-indulgent. Argument number 5, you have no idea how your work might touch someone. Even if you think it's crap, the fact of you doing it, of course you have to put it out there in the world, which is another story, but the fact of you doing it may just change somebody's life for the better. Argument number 6. As the Talmud says, if you save a single human soul, it is as if you had saved the entire world. When you do your creative thing, you are saving your own soul, and therefore you are saving an entire world. Argument number 7, doing your creative thing might just prevent brain decline in old age. It might keep you from getting Alzheimer's. And argument number 8, it might just save your life. So there you have it, all 8 reasons for why it is essential and not self-indulgent to do your creative thing, to do your art. I hope I've convinced you of why it is essential for you to get creating. And I hope you'll go get creating if you haven't been creating while you've been listening to this. So that's today's episode. If you enjoyed this podcast, the best way you can show your appreciation is to leave an honest review on iTunes. The more reviews I get, the higher up in the search results Live Creative Now will be, and the easier it will be for other people to find it. So your review is a huge way to help grow the creative uprising, and I'll be super appreciative. Also, if you have a question that you want me to address on the show, if you type it into your review, you may hear me feature it in a future episode. And in fact, that's the best way to get me to feature your question, because as an incentive to get you to leave a review, I'm prioritizing questions that people leave in reviews. So go leave an honest review on iTunes, include your question, and if you want to tweet out if I use your question in the show, leave your Twitter handle too, so I can contact you. So that's it. Thank you so much for joining me today. And go get creating. Mwah.